and McCann.
Hello everyone, I'm John Coleman from Apocatastasis, an Institute for the Humanities, an alternative college and high school here on New Milford, Connecticut, USA. This recording is our latest installment of A Conversation With, today with Sean McCann. And Sean's going to introduce himself momentarily, having taken a minute away from the shop floor and made some time for us today. Before we get to know Sean and the topic we're getting into today, which is childhood trauma and how to avoid that, and we'll see how the muse moves us in the subsequent conversation, just one announcement appropriate indeed to our talk today, and that is an invitation to go to our website, which you can see on the ticker below, as well as in the description, and to read my latest essay, O Sister Yashikika, on the nature of occupation and the resistance of schoolmen. And I lay things out as I see them on both fronts. And I think that's an appropriate essay and an appropriate plug to today's topic. And you can find that on our main webpage, as well as our staff publication page, as well as at thepostal.com, the original publisher. So with the plug being seen to, welcome, Sean, first of all.
Hello. Thank you for having me, and it was delightful to get your email and to hear your interest in this topic, because it's like the largest topic for me and my activism. I know that all beings are free. We own our bodies, and we have free will. Mm. Doesn't matter what religion you are, all those truths are evident, and I work to maintain the freedom of individuals. I'm free, I own my body, you're free, you own your body, and no one has the right to harm that or try to steal that in any way. Mm-hmm. So that's why I am so dedicated to this topic, and this is the one satanic push that is being put on our society that we actually have the power to stop. Mm. Because we are asked, do you want this done to your baby? And we have the choice to say yes or no. So it takes our will. And if I can teach everybody the truth, then they can make a correct decision. Because doctors do not give informed consent, especially on this topic. And they have been indoctrinated. So they do not understand the informed consent. So
excellent.
That's my piece. Yeah, go ahead.
Great. And of course, Sean here speaking of what in America is called politely circumcision. And we'll be stepping off on that topic momentarily here. Sean, as we get to know you here, and we have your website down below, and the audience will duly spend the next at least 5 weeks checking all of your many great interviews out, including the one I found you through, which was an interesting discussion on Tram Novel, which was it a Jungian?
Arthur Schnitzler.
He was a Jungian fellow, wasn't he?
Yeah. He actually was like a doppelganger of Freud. He was around during the same time as Freud, and I'm not sure if he relates to Jung at all, but I do know that he was studied under the same teachers as Freud and went to the same college and grew up in the same area, and they came to the same conclusions pretty much through different manners of discovery. With Schnitzler, he explored the mind with his literature, and Freud explored the mind with I forget the term for his method, but
was it psychoanalysis?
Yes,
kind of conversation.
That's, Right. Just conversational talking, putting them on the couch. Freud like removed himself from their vision, like behind the couch, and let them just talk it out. And that was his way of discovering these thoughts and these ideas about the human mind. And so Schnitzler actually was popular in his day during his own time. And Freud came up later and became more popular later. But I actually heard that Freud, there's a quote of Freud was afraid to meet Schnitzler because he was aware of the fact that they are so alike. He was afraid what that would do to his own ego. Like, it was like meeting your doppelganger. But anyway, they became friends towards the end of their life. But that's the Traum Novelle is like that's the book that Eyes Wide Shut was based on, and it's an exploration into the desires of the mind and like the sexual. How do we relate fidelity with our bestial nature, and how do we overcome those things? And Traum Novelle is Schnitzler wrote a bunch of books that were related to this type of topic. One is La Ronde, where like the whole, it's just one person has sex with another person, and then they go to have sex with another person. That person goes, it's just this, and it's an exploring into their mind, pre and post coital. So it's very interesting the way, but anyway, I was talking about that because of Eyes Wide Shut and my look into Kubrick. I've done a lot of look into Kubrick, and, I follow that, and I went down that rabbit hole because I'm a photographer and went to photography school. And so like Kubrick is a master photographer. That's why I've been looking at him. And I was just talking about why he chose Traum Novelle. What about Traum Novelle and what pieces he took from Traum Novelle and put into Eyes Wide Shut, and what pieces were changed. Those few things that were changed, goes to show what Kubrick's true intent was to show us and what was he really revealing. People can find that. I was on William Ramsey Investigates with William Ramsey. He's a friend of mine, and we've done a lot of work together, and that was a great show. I'm glad that you watched that.
Yes, absolutely. And I will put that, as I make a note here, I will put the Traum Novelle interview in the description that the audience can check out. Good overview of things. Okay, and actually a very good on-ramp to our discussion today, if we think about life, the origin of life, the coming and going, and the importance of stepping off on the right foot. And a few years ago, Sean, I had the pleasure of interviewing Janice Barcello, whose whole focus is...
She's great.
Birth trauma. You're familiar with this lady?
Yes, she's been on my show. Actually, I met her at Free Your Mind 4. She gave me a book by Kurth Barker. She's a wonderful woman.
Great. And I would encourage the audience to check that out, to dig it up. I'm not going to lard the description with a million links, but you can probably nose her out there.
Birth of a New Earth. Birth of a New Earth is her website.
Yes,
people should go check it out. She gives classes on to teach parents what to expect before their birth, gives counseling. She's very in the work. She's doing work to help parents and to help create a wonderful environment for children to grow up naturally with the influence of the creator and not the satanic trauma that we're put into at the hospitals. And she also does a lot of work at describing what exactly the hospitals are doing and why it's traumatic to the baby and what those effects are. That's why that goes hand in hand with the circumcision talk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Janice is a good place to start at the website just mentioned for the audience, because she gets into, even before the marital act, the couple having their intentions proper and certainly not mucking things up even before conception, whether that's the use of pornography or contraceptions, devices, or even something I never really thought about, the what they do for the babies with the
ultrasound.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Right, and she really has a whole take on that, which was quite interesting. Right.
And she, the mentality of the mother, like if the mother is like, oh my God, I'm afraid to be a mother and I don't want this thing inside of me, that creates an energy and that damages the baby too. She wants us to have pure intention and to welcome and accept the baby and to have it be a loving place, a loving womb too, you know, from the beginning. And she, you know, and you don't need to have doctors do ultrasound. Ultrasound is an attack, basically. It's, I mean, if you look at what like sonar and stuff, it'll beach whales. Like it'll, they try to get out of the water because they're so, they don't want to hear that noise anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and in some hospitals, they just put a belt on the mother and they just like, it just goes constantly.
Is it, oh golly,
I'm serious. No, really. They had that where my son was born and we told them, no, we don't need that. But it's to check the heartbeat of the baby and make sure the baby's heart is beating. But you don't need that. Like, why? You know what I mean? Of course the baby's heart is beating. Like, we didn't need that for thousands and millions of years so far. Why do we need it now? You most have it. We have to, but whatever. Janice is great, and she is a wonderful place for people to start because she has love and care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the everything blooms from that. And you know, we can trust her. And yeah. I love her. It's great.
Excellent. So now we move to our initial stepping off point, which is what's called in this country circumcision. And having been myself to pretty much every nude beach around Connecticut, and that's hardly as sizzly and as sexy as it might sound. Most of these places are old folks' homes, in fact. And it's hardly a lustful thing, although that's a whole other discussion, the misperception of nudity. And maybe we can even bring that up as we talk about child rearing. I'm writing an essay on that, in fact, later this spring. But in any case, I could probably count in these United States on one hand, certainly in two hands, having seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of naked people and naked men, probably on one or two hands, the amount that have not been violated in this fashion. And where should we tackle this? Should we tackle, Sean, the motivation of parents, perhaps centered in fear of ostracization? Or where should we step off on this very, what people think is as common as cutting an umbilical cord, yet we find out has so much larded into it?
Right. Yeah. So that, like, oh, maybe he'll get made fun of when he's 12 in the locker room. That is just one of a million logical fallacies that people give. I guess, well, okay. So you saw a bunch of old people.
Well, and young people and middle-aged people, but most of these are the resorts and are retirement homes, basically.
Right. So that is evidence that it's been going on for generations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the Connecticut area, because New England, so circumcision in the Victorian era was what the elites do. That's what rich people do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they had this idea that it hinders masturbation. Which it does in a way, even though people still do it, they use lubrication now. But in any case, they tried to damage the penis so that the child couldn't masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
And because they believed that masturbation is the root of all the ills of society. Mm. The reason that dude's homeless is because he masturbates. The reason that person is a thief is because he masturbates. And the Jews are such good people. Because they have cut themselves and they can't masturbate. And look how much smarter they are. There was this weird, like, as if these ideas are pushed for no reason at all, just like the ideas that are pushed about medicine nowadays. I mean, they tell us that, you know, we must have medication derived from oil. You know, they tell us that we must have fluoride to protect our teeth. I mean, these things they have, it's like, it's not based in truth. It was handed down by the masters, and the order following officers in their white coats are just doing their diligent duty, right? Mm-hmm. So they came up with this excuse about masturbation, but the true intent is to damage the minds and the bodies, but most importantly, the minds of the baby. That is okay. Go ahead.
Oh, just a question. Do you concur with me that this really becomes popular? You're right. It is kicking around with the Victorians, especially the WASP sorts, of trying to belly up to the royal family's weird practice going back for a very long time. Because there's this whole theory about the royals and the British being Israel and all this jazz.
Silly. So okay.
My conclusion though is do you concur with me, Sean, that where this really gets rolled out, talking about trauma, is during the Second World War, as the men are enlisted, this is a procedure forced upon them, and then so really? we almost what's that?
I did not know that.
That's where it really gets rolled out en masse.
Wow.
That's my conclusion of my studying of this.
Interesting. So adult men joining the military had to be circumcised?
Yes. Correct. Wow. And this gets into so you had this stuff kicking around with the Victorians, and then in this country, as all the immigrants were coming over prior to the World Wars, you had the WASPs doing this more and more amongst them, the East Coast big families. I'm in a part of Connecticut. We have all these fancy boarding schools for kids. It's $50,000 a year. So they don't want to look like all these disgusting immigrants coming in. Right. So they mutilate their boys so that, and of course the immigrants want to fit into the society. So, you know, there's that disposition eventually to kind of catch up. But where it really gets rolled out is during the Roosevelt administration. He has all these Jews coming in, and look at these devices, like the Glomcoke or the mole device. I mean, they're all Jewish names if you look at the patent holders.
Right. Right.
So that's my conclusion anyway.
Wow. That is interesting. I need to look more into that World War II thing, because can you imagine enlisting into the military to go fight for your country? And then they remove your ability to feel sex, and then you go home like damaged forever. And like, oh, you know, my wartime, whatever, it's trauma in their brain. Like they're starting with the trauma as they enlist. They're like, here we go. Some trauma for your brain. And that, okay.
So say nothing of what you're going to see fighting.
This perfectly clicks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you inflict trauma on the sexual organs, it causes the person to dissociate because they can't fight and they can't run because they're held down to the circumstraint board.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
And that causes a third reaction in your brain where you're just like a deer in headlights. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what to do. You don't have your conscious mind, so you follow orders. It's perfect for military.
Bingo.
Holy and crap.
And in my writing this past year, I have some publications coming out, Sean. That's one of the things I write about is exactly, you look at the mankind in these United States, the men, and not mankind, but the men, the males, and you see politically and culturally unbelievable aggressions, swindles, so forth.
Yes.
And the men are passive. And I argue it goes right back to that part where they were strapped down and they can neither fight nor flight. They can just like a rape victim receive it.
Exactly that. Just like a rape victim, because it is rape. Let me tell you something. That is the child's first sexual experience. Not just because it's his genitalia, but because the nurse has to get it hard before they do the operation.
Mm-hmm.
So your little baby, the first time you ever get an erection, they remove 60% of the nerve endings at least. of your Meissner corpuscle fine touch nerve endings, they remove them completely. There's like large veins and arteries that go through that area that they're severing. The child can bleed out.
Does happen every year. Dozens of babies die with this bleeding out and gangrene and such.
People need to look at what really happens. You can remove the penis completely. The child can die.
Mm-hmm.
The child can have his genitalia, his penis removed completely.
Mm-hmm.
In that American Circumcision movie, there was a mother who saw the penis and then they took it away, circumcised him, came back with no penis. She says, what just happened? And they said, you're crazy, mother. You didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Like gaslighting.
Yeah.
And so they do that, and then it can cause there can be when it heals, it can stick to the head, and it can make it. There's a list of terrible things that can
hidden
happen.
Hidden penis. I've seen that myself.
Right.
Where the muscle is all there, but it retracts as an infant into the body. And so the man grows up and he can function and such, but he looks like a Barbie doll. He had the pubic mound, but the muscles retreated in. It looks like a belly button almost.
Oh my God. Think about what that person has to live with. I mean, and even if it's done correctly, it's still a damaged wound. Mm-hmm. Every time, like it happened to me, and every time I pee, I am reminded. And it's like it's a trauma that haunts me forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've talked to my parents about it, and they understand, and we've gotten over it, forgiveness, but when all those babies leave the hospital, they never have follow up care. No, none of those doctors know how many of those are actually botched.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they'll never notice the botch until the kid grows up to be old enough to have erections and, you know, like normal functioning, like an adult penis. It curves it, it can it can be painful to even have an erection.
There's not enough skin there,
see. Yes, yes. And when the inner portion goes to the full length that it's supposed to, and there's not enough skin on the outside, so that can be painful, and then they have to have more surgeries the doctors never say, doctors in the hospitals are always like, oh, it's just a little snip, and the Jews say, oh yeah, it's like peeling the husk of the useless peel of an orange or something, and just throw it away. That's how they talk about it, when really that has all of the functionality and the nerve endings that are God, StreamYard sucks. I just did a thumbs up and a bubble pop, but anyway. It takes away the functionality and the nerve endings so that the person is no longer okay, how about this one? During the Victorian era, there was this famous guy, John Harvey Kellogg. Everybody knows about Kellogg's flakes, cornflakes, or whatever. That guy thought that fornication is a sin. I mean, he was some sort of Gnostic, Ophite Gnosticism or some crap, where he's like, thinks we're in a prison, maybe. I don't know. But he had a wife who he never consummated the marriage, never touched her sexually. And then he had 40 adopted children or some crap. And he had this, institute where he would give people coffee enemas and feed them white toast only, and like
including the author of this series, The Story of Civilization. He was very good friends. Will Durant was very good friends with Harvey Kellogg, and in his biography, he talks about going out to that very institute.
Oh my God, the sanitarium! It's crazy.
Like, it was in like Illinois, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. And he was revered as like this genius doctor. And he was just a quack, and his ideas came from like craziness. And he said that all boys should be circumcised so that they associate sex with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that will go deep in the root of their brain, and that way they won't fornicate.
Mm.
So it's an attack on creation itself. Like the synapse point between the male and the female is the foreskin. Mm-hmm. And that foreskin works with the labial folds. Like it's built to connect to that. And, you know, it keeps all the moistures inside, and it's better for the female. But women are trained these days to think it's gross to have a foreskin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that goes along with the mind control, you know, that everybody has been under.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so I guess I've been kind of rambling. Out of
no, place. No, these are all very appropriate points. Again, because this is so normal for Americans that it does deserve to be extrapolated. At the school, several parents over the years, you know, have come to this knowledge and they have a tribulation when they realize that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a good place to start is you mentioned your own discussion with your parents about forgiveness. So that's a good place to start for people who might feel, you know, woeful and regretful is to have that conversation and to remember that the procedure that we're describing, so-called circumcision, is the primary damage is psychological, and that this emotional healing can be you know, it's not permanent in the sense of damage. Bad guys work. The John Rockefeller doctors. This can be undone by love and by forgiveness. And perhaps we'll talk about foreskin restoration for those who are interested. So this isn't a topic for parents who are feeling penitent about this. This isn't a topic that is altogether water under the bridge. It can be healed in various ways.
I think so, because forgiveness is a huge, I mean, the act of doing that, it puts in the baby the idea that he can't trust his mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the bond between the baby and mother is damaged forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be consciously sewn back together.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes.
And sometimes it's hard for people to get there. Everybody has to come at it from their own way. Some mm-hmm. people will never forgive. Like I know people that, and you know, I just want the parents to recognize and realize what they had done, you know, and even just to realize it, if they are too afraid to say sorry, I mean, just know what the truth is and then mm-hmm. move on from there, you know, because there might be a lot of parent, like my best friend, I wasn't able to tell him this information before he had his son. And,
mm-hmm.
and like, he cried to me and I cried, and I know that he is sorry, and his son will know that his dad is sorry. And mm-hmm. mom too. And, you know, like even at, he's like 7 or something right now, but even in these little, you know, father son moments, he tells them like, it was wrong and I'm sorry. And then the child will grow up knowing like it was a mistake, instead of like thinking subconsciously, like you don't really think it,
mm-hmm.
but it's just this feeling of like, I don't trust anyone. I, you know, mm.
And also, no, there's the subtext. There's a subtext of altering a body, especially from the jump, where the individual apparently their body was somehow imperfect when they were born, and some medical doctor, some institution had to make them right.
Right. Yeah. That, I mean, imagine the hubris that they, like, we can make it better. Like, it's so retarded. Mm. And I mean, but that comes from the ancient idea of the Judaism, you know, like, we have to, God made a mistake and he told us to go fix it, you know, but really what that is a substitution for child sacrifice to Yahweh. Mm. Like it always has been that Yahweh takes the firstborn male, you know, but instead we just chop his penis and like, that's the substitution. People want to argue about that, religious people, but really that's what the Canaanite cults, they were Yahweh cult, you know, the Phoenicians were a Yahweh cult. This is where they had the Tophets and they were, you know, burning the children in the fires of Moloch, you know. This comes from, if the masters of the cult can make a mother go against her love and innate wanting to protect the child, you know, the motherly instinct. If she can go against that and give the baby to the priest to go kill in a fire, then she's totally indoctrinated. She's totally under the spell, and she is a slave to the master.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that. Same thing with the Jewish practice today, with the priest or whatever, the rabbi comes in and he's in his robes and his costume, which makes all the adult males remember their own mutilation. And, oh, I better do what he says because they'll strap me down, cut my penis and suck the blood, you know, in front of everybody. While everybody laughs and cheers and drinks coffee, you know?
Yes.
It's really, and then they have to re-traumatize themselves. Every time a family member has a baby, male baby, they have to go and witness it again, hear the screams, you know? And that puts them in that state of, dissociative, like, I'll do what you say, master, you know, to this hairy monster that sucks the blood.
Well, I guess it's two hairy monsters ourselves.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like,
of course. Yeah.
He's wearing the costume and it, like, the baby has never seen anything like this. And the thing, like, chops his penis and he feels babies feel three times more pain than an adult. That's just how it works. That is our biology.
That's why they're always crying.
Yes, that exactly right. And people in the age of Kellogg, they used to think that babies didn't feel pain, that the nerve endings aren't really they're not developed yet, and you know, you can, they were doing open heart surgery on babies with no anesthesia. I mean, holy shit. Excuse my language. So that gave them the justification. We could do this to babies. We can, you know, and it's okay, mother. He screams the same as when he's got a dirty diaper. It's no big deal. It's fine. And then they tell themselves, oh, it's no big deal. And they grow up thinking, oh, it's no big deal. And then when the kid, the child is given the idea it's no big deal too, because this is important. Like, because the parents did the action that is the harm on their babies, they have a block to it. They do not want to recognize that they harmed their baby. They love themselves. Yes. They love their babies. And they do not want to admit that it's true.
Yes.
That it was harm. That was the big thing with my mother. Like, and she just couldn't. She knows what the pain is. I told her, and then like her excuse was not good enough, you know, and whatever. So that mental block is how it continues. And we see that today with the medical malpractice and the medical over the past 4 years now, what they were doing to us as a society. Mm-hmm. They made us like we didn't want to believe that we did it to ourselves, you mm-hmm. know, yeah. and that we accepted what, you know, so like people are dying from the thing that they took, and nobody wants to think that's true. Like,
mm-hmm.
So, and again, for the men, they don't want to recognize that they themselves had been through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
They want to think, oh, it's just a snip. Oh, it didn't hurt me. I'm fine. It's better now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Women like it, right? You know, so they don't want to recognize that it was a traumatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So because both parents don't want to see that it actually is harm, then they go and do it again. And then that mm-hmm. child doesn't want to recognize that he had been harmed. And, you know, he convinces his wife, oh, we have to do it because then it'll look like me, you know.
Yeah.
It's in their own mind, they're creating the reasoning because they don't want to face the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That they yeah. themselves are victims. So this yeah, perpetuates.
Absolutely. And there's also an aspect of this, which is, unfortunately, I have to use a harsh word, but it's cannibalistic. There's an aspect to this whole system, which is cannibalistic, Sean. And that is, I'm going to make a simile now. So we'll return to the circumcision cannibalism as I see it. In this country, actually in Europe, it comes from Europe, but we have a chain, certainly here in Connecticut, called Aldi's. You have heard of Aldi's? And this is very inexpensive food. And it's lately come to my attention via a report from the Associated Press that the reason Aldi's food is so cheap is because it's all grown by slaves. It's all grown by prison slaves on farms that are...
Oh.
So they have this aspect where you have all these American slaves on the farms. According to the 13th Amendment, anyone in prison is a slave.
Right.
And so that's why so you have this, just speaking on an energetic level, which you've referenced a number of times, you have all this misery and this food, this energy is going into the food, and it's sold to Joe Blow and to me because I'm broke because of the...
Right. Damn, I didn't want to know that, but it's true. I know it's true. I've been in jail. Like, mm-hmm. I've been working on the farm. They call it the farm.
Yeah, you know, they call it the farm, exactly. Mm. And then you talked about the cannibalism. How did those dudes, a lot of them, get up in jail? Because, you know, you have these wars in Afghanistan and things for the heroin. So they grew the heroin there. Mm. They dropped it off in the city. Some guy got stoned off and killed someone or whatever. Now he's a slave. And there's this weird, like, cannibalism within cannibalism. So that's right. That's the setup. With the topic of circumcision, I just see a similar cannibalism where you have all of this aspect on the consumer end, because the medical thing is all just another consumer industry. You have all that jazz going on with trauma and adults not wanting to face up to things, yada, yada, yada. But then you have, well, what are the John Rockefeller doctors doing with what they call foreskin? And maybe later I can differentiate how they change that definition.
But ask Sandra Bullock. She knows.
Yes. And you know where I'm going with this.
Right. And the injections. Go ahead.
Yeah. How this flesh is used for stem cells, for cosmetics, for the vanity of the women who are told to feel like nothing because of these televisions and things. And if you want to go there, I know you've talked about some wild topics, the possibility that at least at a certain level of the technology, maybe decades gone by, maybe it's not used anymore, the idea of clones, and that this was harvesting flesh for DNA samples for right. clones and such.
Yeah, now they just take blood. Like the state, I couldn't refuse. Ohio took my kid's blood. Like that really bothers me as an anarchist. I mean, it like boiled my own blood. Like, I'll never have a baby at a hospital or a birthing center again, like home birth all the way. But yeah, so the,
and even that's being lassoed, just by, even the whole home birth and doulas are all being lassoed into the John Rockefeller stuff.
Right. Right. And so the Rockefellers are members of dark occult. They are dark occult magicians this modern day usage of the flesh in medicine and makeup and stuff is just the modern day, like they, you know, in the old days they used to use eye of newt and like different in their potions, you know what I mean? That they did, they used foreskin, prepuce in their, in the witch's brew, you know? And it's just the modern day version of that, you know? They would, they think that it has to do with fertility and they would like, it would help like for youth and stuff. And they still do. Like Sandra Bullock was on Ellen DeGeneres talking about how she gets like micro needles pushing foreskins into her face.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, and Ellen was like asking her how to describe it. And Ellen had trouble saying the word foreskin because she knows it's trauma and she knows she's using it for her own vanity and her own ego and satanic purposes. And she's, but she said it, you know, and, so like this is modern day black magic, in my opinion.
And you better believe for the audience and to us here, you better believe that the John Rockefeller doctor is getting kickbacks from these companies too. This isn't just all energetic and spiritual and that aspect. I mean, they're getting, in New York City, they're getting $3,000, a piece of so-called foreskin.
Wow.
And
that's not to the doctor who cuts it. He gets a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, he gets a couple hundred, but the hospital's getting it, or the pediatrician clinic or whatever.
Yeah.
And the
and they make the nurses, they make the nurses' aides do it. They don't even a doctor doesn't do it. Sometimes a nurse that, but it's like the trainee.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
And no. For the receipts for that, the audience can check out a group actually out of New York City called Intaction. It's an activist group. And we actually, this might be an appropriate time to talk about the insurance aspect of this too, that we're on the finances. But Anthony Descaro with Intaction actually is found, rooting through the dumpsters of these hospitals in the city, has actually found the invoices from the makeup companies and from the research universities and so forth. And there's this whole back room of insurance and reinsurance and things.
I would like to into. Have that gentleman on my show someday. If you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me. Thank you.
Yeah. Anthony Lascaro Intaction is his group. And he's the one who has all the receipts there for the financial benefits that these creeps have with this procedure.
Disgusting. And the finances is just like, that's how they fuel their evil system. You know, like just look at corporate America, you know, I mean, the way the satanic practices of a corporation. And no one is responsible because there is no, it's a fiction, you know, so they can do all the evil and not have any karmic, you know, it's black magic basically.
Yeah. I really would put the circumcision topic, very much in the same discussion. And you may be familiar, as you know, Mark Passio and some of the circles that he's traveled in. I really would put this in the neck of the woods of the whole legal person and all the occult aspects with that entity that's foisted on the child, boy or girl, in this instance, upon birth, too. And this whole idea, you have to traumatize the kid, especially the boy. And then you have to spend the next 20 years getting ready to live in this transformer called his legal person. And there's your modern education system, getting to live through the entity of another.
Right. Yeah, that's like demonic possession right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny you said, especially the boys. I heard a interview with Jacob Rothschild, the guy that just died, and he was talking about how they raise their children. They raise their girls Christian and they raise their boys Jewish.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that goes to show what it's necessary trauma to create a dissociative victim that will follow orders. That's how the cult has perpetuated. That's why this ancient practice of child sacrifice is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Jewish leader of the AM, the American Association of Pediatrics, still say, even though they recognize there is no medical benefit from it, they still think it's okay and they recommend that it be done. But they're pushing the way that they have created this mind control system, this device that they have created of circumcising their own kind. It creates like a groupthink, and it creates a psychopathy of the together group can have this psychopathy together. But each one of us, we're, oh, I'm a moral man. Well, you know, they, it's, so it's kind of the same as statism, you know, but it, and so that's how, and it, because of the mental blocking that I talked about earlier and the ritual nature of it and the adherence of the Jews to their rituals over time has maintained that same child sacrifice throughout. And Jesus came along and said, you don't need to do that anymore, guys. Circumcise the heart. You don't have to do that to your body parts, you know, and all. But some Christians are still under the spell of the, you know, anyway.
So this
has perpetuated through all through time, and it's still going. And this is just an, like, it's proof that it is mind control. We can see that that is how cults have controlled their people, you know, their subjects all through time. And this is still happening. And we can point at it and be like, there it is. And people are blocked by it still. They're like, they think, oh no, it's cleaner. It helps prevent cancer. It's, you know, it maybe even up to the 70s, they were like, oh, it prevents masturbation. So, so like, really the child owns his body. The parent can't make a claim, say it's my job to decide.
Fundamentally, I think that's where I see the circumcision topic and the birth certificate topic being very similar, is that you're trying to get the actual flesh and blood man to disassociate, as you say, and to start operating these other entities in the third person, so to speak.
And then we willingly go along with it because we have been damaged in our minds. And we seek this approval from others, and we all of a sudden have, like, authority is a thing now because it can hold me down and rape my body with pain, you know, like, so I better comply, you know. It's creating this thing that is not natural in our minds. And like, you know, our consciousness connects to our brain. And our brain is connected to our body. You know what I'm saying? Like, our body is the physical expression of the consciousness that inhabits it. And to have someone refuse our ability to feel those feelings, like, once I'm born, they tied me down and said, no, you can't feel what sex feels like. We're going to damage you forever. And it was against my will. And I had no, like, it's, you know, so this puts in me the knowledge that this place is a painful trauma, and I better do what they say, or, you know, and it also robs me of the ability to feel that as if they know better. And then when I learn about black magic and, you know, magic, whatever, sex magic is huge. That's what all real magic is sex magic. And is it necessary to have a foreskin to do that? You know, whatever fantastic operations are happening in the metaphysical, maybe all that is removed as well.
Ah, okay.
Maybe they're robbing that from us too, to make us permanent slaves here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it does affect our brain, and mm-hmm. it does change us forever. And there are lots of doctors that have gone into that. There's a gentleman that wrote a book, Ronald Goldman.
Okay.
He wrote a Circumcision Trauma, I think is the name of his book. Okay. And he was featured in American Circumcision. And he's
the documentary.
Yes, the documentary. And he's been there, helped with doctors and with people that did where they go into hypnosis and regressive therapies where they go back to being a baby and feeling it. And he's studied the trauma of what it does to our brains. And if people want to learn more, definitely check out Ronald Goldman and look at his books.
And, you know, I was listening to a podcast lately from a Mexican nudist, and they brought up a similar point. And because this individual did not speak English as a first language, or they spoke it fluently, maybe they had a way of expressing things. I never thought about it. But getting back to this whole idea in childhood of authority, and so we mentioned it with this graver aspect of physically amputating the baby boy. But, you know, this naturist lady from Mexico, she was saying, you know, this is my body, and I'm the one who gets to choose if it's covered up or not. This is my body. This state, this third party entity has no no jurisdiction.
That's right.
And I'm doing an essay on this, partially on this topic, in June. And it's this idea, and just like with the circumcision, the parents have this, their whole forums on this. You know, when do I start telling my child to wear clothes? When do I stop taking a bath with them? When do I, and you have that same, at a certain point in this society, how we think about child rearing, there's a certain point you tell the child, no, it's not right to be nude any longer.
Hmm.
And it's the same, I see the same principle at play in a less, morally repugnant way as circumcision, but the same principle is at play, that an authority is stepping in and telling you about your body.
That's interesting. And you're right. Yeah. I went to a couple rainbow gatherings, and there were a lot of naked people and naked babies that were very happy with being naked, that it wasn't sexual at all. You know, they were going, walking around in the mud and just big smiles and, so I've seen both sides. I've seen Babylon's version where people have to wear clothes, and I've seen like God's intent where people don't, they can or not, who cares, wear clothes. So that's an interesting point. And that's right. We do own our bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess there's like, you just owning a body, you have to think about your presentation to others. So like, you know, like I never ended up getting tattoos because I don't want people to look at my body. Like, I'm not like, here, look at me, you know, because it just, because I'm, you know, that's how I think. And like, so I don't, so, I mean, I think people should take into account how they are presenting themselves to others, but you know, some people, if they choose otherwise, I don't think it's a crime to be covered, like they have to cover up. Like, I agree with her sentiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, maybe one of the rules of thumb that keeps coming up in this conversation, Sean, is, you know, how do you see this satanic spirit, whether it's circumcision or clothing or a lot of the stuff around school and the whole mythology about school? And I mean, one of the rules of thumb I see in all of these child rearing aspects has to do with when you start seeing people looking over their shoulder and afraid of what other people are doing and trying to trim the sails to fit in. That's one of the signs that you have the satanic spirit there, and you're right. Doing something because you think what you think other people are concerned about. That's one of the rules of thumb for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, does that relate to like herd mentality, pack animals type thing, where we have, because we're, because we like are such social beings, we care so much about being part of the crowd, like, you know, That's, I don't know. Like, well, I don't know if that's part of our bestial nature or what. I mean, I guess Satan, like the satanic force, uses the bestial nature as a hammer to fight against the will of the creator. You know, I mean, it uses our sexual desires and like it uses our sins and, you mm-hmm. know, as like a hammer to beat against the loving creator.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I don't know, like the satanic force is robbing us of the freedom of walking around naked or robbing us of the most, like with the circumcision, it robs us of the most good feeling possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like those nerve endings are, that's where all the feeling is. It's not in the, like, and if you look at the way bonobos are built and the way that gorillas are built, the bonobos' nerve endings are in the foreskin and the gorilla's nerve endings are in the glands.
Okay.
So a gorilla just runs, dominates its mate. It takes a couple seconds and it's over. And then you know, it's alpha male. And with bonobos, they do sex for pleasure and they do sex to like say hello. It's like a handshake, you know what I mean? Like they please each other and it's like they have more loving bonds. And so that right there in the natural world is an example of what the foreskin and those nerve endings can do for the mammal that has those nerve endings. Right. Mm-hmm. And if the satanic force wants to have controlling dominators who will follow orders, you know, then it will be like, oh, let's get some more gorillas in this population of humanity, mankind, because bonobos and all their lovemaking, that's what are they, you know? It's like pillow sitting and what we want to go make change in the world. We want to go dominate our enemies. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is, I think that's why they continue and they see the benefits of it, as controllers, you know, because they see us as slaves to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's sad that they do it to their own kind, but and then if you look at like satanic ritual abuse and the bloodline families of the rich New England people and the European people, they traumatize their kids to create psychopathy in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother conversation. But
yeah, well, I mean, it strikes me that en masse, the only two groups of people that circumcise at infancy are the rabbinic Jews in Israel and throughout the world in their communities and the Americans. And I've noticed that they both have, they both excel, both communities, so-called, excel in spying. They both excel in spying. Right. And yeah, it's true the Muslims circumcise, but they don't do it until puberty. So that, I believe, creates a different psychology altogether.
Yes.
So it's interesting if you look at, you know, the domination. As we're recording this, you're watching the Palestinians being bulldozed in a tremendous fashion, all these dead babies and things. Yeah. And part of that, let's trace that back to the fact that the rabbinic white Jews, so-called, they're busted from their the womb as well. I mean, these guys are, you know, had part of their body cut off, and then they just whisper Holocaust, 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 and you have a robot.
Think of the mind control, like, whoa.
Yes.
So and they all have to be in the IDF, like it's like part of every citizen, like
yeah. Whoa. So you have the Arabs who are being aggressed upon, but even the aggressors are war slaves that have been damaged tremendously.
Yes. Well, it's the same with cops. It's the same, you know, like they dominate us, but then they go and get yelled at by their boss, you know. It's the same, like you need trauma to make warriors that do trauma, you know, like if it's in your mind that this is life, this is how you do it, then you don't have any care about inflicting it on others. So, well, it may be some, I guess, but it's diminished at least because you yourself accept that this world is pain and trauma and everybody gets it. And God harmed me, so I'll harm you. like any like kid that, I mean, that's how they train the SRA children.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put two kids in a room and they'll beat the crap out of both of them. And then they'll tell one of them, you have to go beat that one if you don't want to get hit anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when he refuses, that other kid gets beaten to almost death. And then like, oh, are you going to do it now? You know, and it's like it wears down their free will ability to say no. And eventually they're just reacting, you know, and think about like how cops are, like they're living on like caffeine and sugar. And they're like the same thing. Every cop, every car they walk up to could be somebody with a gun that wants to kill them. Like just because they have a badge, the same thing with the Israelis, like the, every Arab is the enemy. Like, you know, we kill all Arabs, and you know they got t-shirts with a pregnant Arab woman, and they got the sniper on the baby bump, you know, like, and they're like two kills one shot, like
what do the Israeli snipers do? I mean, more than anything, they love shooting the balls off of the Arabs or their feet, so they get amputated
kneecaps too. Yeah it's sick what they do. Mm-hmm. And that, you know. So, like, I think that the trauma allows that in them to create a psychopath. You need to make trauma in a baby. And even if you, like, look at Brave New World. The first couple pages are, this is how we traumatize a fetus even before it's born to create a beta, a gamma, epsilon, whatever, you know, and the alphas are unharmed. You know, to make an alpha minus, you put a little alcohol in there. You know? For real, right. Like in the book.
Oh, I read it. Yeah, I know.
Shake it up like to make a gamma. And then these, when they grow up, they're like, gee, I'm glad I'm not an alpha. Well, they sweep the floor, yes. You know. So this is it. The real thing that is like, I mean, well, yes, they do trauma in the womb. Janice Barcelo will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And they traumatize the parents so that they think wrong, and you know, the whole time. So it's like a continuous chain of trauma.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm struck with, Sean, is about this chain of trauma. So you have, we'll start with mommy and daddy. So you have a daddy who's been aggressed upon as an infant in this way we've been speaking the last hour over.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he gets to middle age, it may be very well that his, he cannot get an erection, so now he needs to get Viagra or one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so he has to go to the pharmacist. The John Rockefeller messed up his organ, so now 30, 40 years later, he can't get an erection. So now he has to go back to the John Rockefeller people for the Cialis and the Viagra.
Yeah, and now if you can't get it up, then there's something wrong with you. Like, oh,
mm-hmm.
But he doesn't even have the nerve endings. Like, what?
And then he needs to get the oils.
They have to. I have to be a man, so I have to go to this, get some medicine to be a man. Like, you know, it's their ego. But go ahead.
Yeah. So you have the so-called medicines. Then you have because the skin is missing. You need the oils and the all these chemicals that they give you. And then because I believe this society is very much over-sexualized, many couples they can't stimulate themselves any longer. They're so over, so they have to watch pornography. And where's all the porno coming from? I believe from the state. Why is it all free? Go on.
Well, and it's from the Jews
too. And the Jews, right? We all know a certain website that's owned by a rabbi.
Well, that you're talking about the guy whose daughter, like Shmuley or whatever. Like, it's ironic that they're advertising lubrication while they're talking about genocide. Like, isn't that like relevant to this conversation? I mean, really, like all of those men, if they had foreskins, they wouldn't be so aggressive for one, and they wouldn't need lubrication for two. And Shmuley's making money off of them because they've all been mutilated, you know, and he says it's good for, you know, marriage and stuff. Like, actually, mutilating the foreskin is bad for marriage in the, to begin with, guys. So this is very... we are over-sexualized, and the like Hollywood itself was pornography. It started as pornography. I mean, a Nickelodeon was a peep show with a woman behind the door where you jerk off in a little room. And now it's like, oh, yeah, it's a kid's network.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, they get slimed, you know. So it's fully – it's – and if you look at it, like, it's money laundering for the Jewish mafia, and like they had to move to LA because of they were infringing on the New York mafia's territory. So they had to bring their pornography out to LA, and like, and then Hollywood is created, and you know, whatever. Hollywood relates to sex magic.
Hollywood, yes, yes.
Right. Well, Hollywood with the wand, everybody talks about, oh, the wizards would make a wand out of a holly branch.
Right. Yes.
So, like, that is with the mind control of Hollywood. But really, why is holly revered by wizards?
Okay, go on.
Because the little berries, they have two colors, red and white. And when you smush them, they got like this jizzy stuff, like the white, like it looks like human ejaculate. And the red, the colors of red and white are the colors of sex magic. Red is the female menstruation starfire, and the white is the male ejaculate. And you combine those together, and that's life. That creates life. That's the power of creation. Wow. That's why wizards love Hollywood.
Wow.
That's why they do that with their. So this and these people that were Jewish, like mafia guys, were members of dark occult orders. You know, they are doing this pornography on purpose. You know, it is an attack in warfare. People would, or like enemies would dump pornography on the enemy people. They they would like drop it out of planes so that they'd be down in their bunker like jerking off instead of shooting.
And that happened in Gaza, I think, in 2007. The IDF took over the radio and the television stations and broadcast it as they were invading.
It's warfare.
And just to get to finish my thought about the couple and about this cannibalistic circle. So you have the damaged daddy who might have to take these damaged by John Rockefeller people, has to take the John Rockefeller Cialis and Viagra, has to use the all these chemical concoctions for lubricant. And then because of the over-sexualization, which took us on a little jag just now, because of the over-sexualization, then you have, you know, parents having or thinking they have to use pornography to stimulate themselves, and the porno coming from the Jews, coming from the powers that be, coming from the state. You have to pay for everything in this society, but porno. Do you ever think about why that is?
Right.
Yeah. And high quality production value at that, endless amounts. And so, and it's from this media, Sean, it's from this media that instills, on top of all the trauma we've talked about, it's also this visual media that instills, oh, this is how everyone is. And this is what the woman is told to want because she's seeing this media.
Right. And all the males in the movies have been circumcised. And all the women are like, ooh, wow, I love it. You know?
Yeah.
And they, you know, they act all like... they're actors.
And just like the prison food coming from the stressed out stuff being given to the goyim in the countryside, the same stuff, all these poor actors and actresses and thing. And there's a lot of abuse that goes on behind the scenes there, and labor violations and taking advantage. And so all of that energy, and don't just like the food, all the food in this country has little U's and kosher C's on it. Cause there's a rabbi does a wizard spell on it. Don't assume there isn't some wizard or some witch or something in these production studios doing spells while they're filming this stuff that's going to be piped in while the child's being conceived.
Right. Wow. Yeah. While the child's being conceived. God. Yeah, video of like some dude pounding away, stepping on the chick's face, and she's like, ooh, and like drooling, and you know, it's anti-human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the things that they focus on in the pornography is pushing us further into eugenics, basically dysgenics.
Mm-hmm.
Like the porn, like I worked at a newsstand a long time ago when I was a kid, and they had the porno magazines, and I was stocking the shelves, and you know, I see what gets ordered, and I stocking up, and there was like the Penthouse forum, you know, where they have the letters and Penthouse mm-hmm. letters and whatever. They had a few of those, and then they had like a bunch of those letter ones, but it's like family heat, family this, family that, and I'm like, whoa, what? And I'm like, I asked my boss, I was like, why are we, what is the deal with that? And he's like, that's what sells. I was like, what? And
wow,
I don't know. I mean, I think he might have been connected to some Boston mafia. I don't know. But it seems like that is what was pushed. And that was like in the 90s, you know? Wow. And now, like, some of the free pornography, it's all family this, family that. And what is that doing to our genetics if people are going to do their family? I mean, look at what the Rockefeller and Rothschilds, like, they would, the inbreeding is a problem. You know, it's an attack on our genetics. And to inculcate the idea that, like, oh, I should go into my sister's room right now, just like in this video, like, what is that doing to the kids that are doing? And then there's another good documentary called Childhood 2.0.
Wow, okay.
Where they talk about what the media does to the kids that have a phone in their pocket, you know. And one of the bigger segments of that film is the pornography, and they interview the kids, like young teens, boys and girls, and the girls complain about having to act like the women in the movies. And the boys see that as that's what women, and this is what we do, you know. So it's like training the youth to do that in the bedroom. That's how they learn about sex, is they go to these porno things. They don't go to their parents, are afraid to talk to their kids, you know, whatever. And then the girls think they have to go, like, be like these chicks. So they're like learning how to do it by watching. And they, so it's turning us into a satanic society. It's like it's pushing Sodom and Gomorrah like onto us, like where we're, you know, as children we're nescient. We don't understand and know what is there, you know. And then, like, we are exposed to this stuff, and all the kids' friends at school, which kids shouldn't be at school.
Well, except for a pocket of the
state. Right. Homeschool is what I'm talking about. But yeah,
I know.
Kids shouldn't go to these state facilities. Like, so anyway, their friends all, this is how it's done. And then the boys talk about it and everybody masturbates. It's cool and whatever. And then
they tell you in the schools, I remember I was told this, and they say this in the magazines too, and the television, you can't do it enough. You can do it every hour, multiple times an hour. You can't, and it'll have no negative effects. And of course this isn't true. And
now dysgenics.
You have kids that are 20 years old and they can't get it up.
Right. That's true. Yeah. So it wires the brain to need the pornography, so that controls the will of the viewer of the porno, because, like, and they can push it further. They can be like, you know, when they're searching through the list, they can be like, here's a tranny, you know, what, huh? Just scrolling through, you know, like, oh, here, do your mother. Like, what, huh? Yeah. Like, so like, it's a direct connection that they have with the subconscious brain of the viewer, and the viewer's just like open, you know, taking it in and then feeling pleasure, you know. And you know, the fact that they've been mutilated as a baby, they can't, their penis doesn't function like it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like just bang away, you know, and it, there's supposed to be more to it. You know, mm-hmm. It's not supposed to just jackhammer and pull all the juices out and, like, you know, push the girl down and just go at it, like, mm-hmm. as fast as you can. But, and like, they're doing that because they don't actually have any feeling or the feeling that's supposed to be there. So in order to get any feeling at all, they have to, like, pound away and, like, it's so... It completely changes us and our actions and our will all the way. So,
and just a few points that come to mind. One is regarding the pushing of masturbation and the pornography and so forth. Is, I believe, and this is not an original thought to me, but I don't think this thought is expressed as much as it should be. I believe a large part of this transgender reality of these individuals that we have now has to do with this idea of pair bonding. And the idea is that when you have the virgin man and woman and they have intercourse, they are bonded very closely. And then, especially for the woman, but for the man somewhat, it's like a sticky note. The more you do it after that, it gets less potent, the bonding. So that if you have a woman, especially, that's had several partners, your chances of divorce are just through the roof. I think after two or three partners, it's just don't even bother marrying them because it's going to be a divorce. And... Oh, that's another discussion.
Right.
As I tell the kids, gentlemen only marry virgins.
Good luck with that. You know,
yeah, good luck finding a unicorn here.
That's why all the freaks go after children.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
No. What I was saying though was so this concept of pair bonding, and so getting to the transgender and this theory is that the individual for decades, two, three, four decades, is stimulating himself. He's looking at Susie Q and Tyrone on the porno. He's looking at Susie Q, but he is stimulating himself. And so in one of the theories of the transgender stuff now is that it's because of several decades of this self-stimulation so when so-and-so says they're 50 years old and they say, I don't feel like a man anymore, they're not lying because they've jacked with their brain so much that they've been looking at Susie Q and they've wanted Susie Q this whole time, but they have pair bonded with their body. So there's this weird inversion that happens with the masturbation and the porno over decades. And that's the one of the theories about why you have all these people now after 30 years of hardcore porn pumped in through the internet.
Wow.
And the other point, and then I kick it over to you, Sean.
That makes sense though, with the chemicals and like oxytocin, and like after you have sex with your wife, you're like hugging and feel love more, like those chemicals are going. And that's the same with a baby who's latched and suckling, you know, the same oxytocin bonding. So that makes a lot of sense. That that's really that's an interesting point. I have to look more into that.
And then these monsters who are creating this pornography and piping it in. Second point here is that I understand that the part of the brain which is stimulated sexually is next door to the part of the brain which is stimulated by novelty. And so you have exactly the phenomena of you're looking at a pinup model, and there's a whole side thing of how many of these porno actors and things are actually male to females and females to males, and so they get us lusting over, that's a whole kettle of fish there. But the point is, you start with the pinup model, and the next thing you know, you're watching something horrible because you wanted the novelty. It's like you need more and more. And then the final point, I kick it over to you, Sean, is this week that we're recording is the actual 20-year anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. So it was 2003, it's 24 now, that's 20 full years. And at that time, there was a film series, a series called Hurt Locker. I believe it was on HBO. And that was, they were, I remember the commentaries from those 20 years ago on Hurt Locker, which was looking at soldiers in the Iraq War. And one of the commentaries was, this was the first generation of soldiers that was reared on porno from the 1980s and 1990s. And they had grown up with it, and how that affected in the show and just the whole milieu of the army and applying to what was actually happening in Iraq, how that affected their brutality in warfare.
That Kubrick talks about that in Full Metal Jacket. Like, I mean, in the, like, they're always like boom, boom. And, you know, that type of, like, the talk, the sex talk is also war talk.
Ah,
it's really interesting. Like, no more boom, boom for this mama son. Like, you know, like, that, and with the cadence that, you know, like Hartman was as they're marching, like, he's like singing about like getting a 7-year itch and like, you know, women's panties. And so like, it's connecting and like, oh, this is my gun, this is my pistol or whatever, that whole thing. It like the, they're mind controlling those people. And, that it very much fits. It goes, it's interesting that they like, that they use pornography for warfare, and they also use the porn viewers for soldiers.
Mm.
Like both ends of the war, it's like the porno is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Getting it's, back to the whole magic aspect that you've brought up with Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I'm a poor man, much like yourself, and on this free, how do you say, this free account that I have on our recording platform, StreamYard, I'm running up against my limit there of available memory. But I would love to have you on to continue this discussion on any further thoughts on circumcision, also healing from it. I would like to talk, in if you're available and interested in a further discussion, about foreskin retraction, in order that you have basically a fetish in this country about what the circumcised penis looks like. I would like to talk about the fact that for people who like the appearance or actually believe that it's healthier or whatever, that you don't have to cut your baby. You can just, at puberty, train the kid to keep his foreskin back. At least you're not cutting him. At least you're not cutting him.
Well,
go on.
That's an interesting thought you have. Mm-hmm. And, but keep in mind, like what we talked about earlier with wearing clothes.
Yes.
You don't
fair.
You don't want to damage yourself because of how you look to others.
Good. Well said.
And so one thing that people should know before we leave is parents should not retract their babies.
No, not babies. I'm not saying babies. I'm saying let the child know that at puberty, when the organ separates.
Okay,
thank you for the clarification.
It's supposed to happen naturally at puberty or sometimes earlier. But sometimes doctors will allow a kid to not to be intact. But then they'll retract it and clean in there, and they'll tell the mother, oh, you got to retract it and clean inside because it's dirty or something. But it's self-cleaning, like a vagina is on a female. It's self-cleaning, but you know, just water. You don't even need soap, really. But anyway,
thank you for the clarification. I meant for later life, certainly forcing or making it, but just the fact is, in this country, people don't understand how foreskin works, so they don't understand that this is an option for adults. That you don't, if that's visually something someone likes as an adult or whatever, that they can train themselves, and they're not losing a part of their body. And if they don't like it, they can just go back to looking natural. And people have no idea about foreskin retraction. That's all I wanted to bring up.
Well, that's right. And it's funny that you're talking about lustful nudity before, and the Romans, everybody used to be naked. You know, in the old days, and they would wear a toga or something, but they thought it was disgusting what the Jews did, because the only time when you see the glands is when it's erect and the person's ready to go, you know. But with the Jews, they do that all the time, and they're walking around with the glands exposed, and the Romans were like, whoa, ew. You know, like it's lustful nudity, or they're trying, and it's like, so they had this aversion to that, and they would crucify you if you circumcised.
Wow.
It's so frowned upon. Mm-hmm. So because they knew the harm that it does and what it is. I'm glad we had this conversation, and this has been wonderful. StreamYard is lame, and I would like to maybe show you some other free options maybe that you can find I use, and maybe after this stops recording, I can talk to you. But in any case, please, for everybody, to visit my website, onegreatworknetwork.com/Sean-McCann. I've done a presentation with my wife, Jennifer, called His Body, His Choice. And we talk about circumcision for like 70 minutes or something. We show examples of the mentality and why and that kind of thing. We don't really go into the pain of it. I also have many other episodes, like my own show, Wake the Dead, where I describe and talk about how it is a continuation of child sacrifice. It's a child sacrifice ritual. And so if people want to learn more, they can go to Wake the Dead. They can find that on Apple, Spotify, all of those. And I'm also on Google, BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey. And you can find some of my content on YouTube as well. So people, please go find more. And like you said, I am a poor man. I'm actually thinking about starting commercials on my show. I kind of feel bad about it, but my family's stuck and they're not giving overtime anymore. I don't know what's going on. And so I got to find a way to fix that. So if anybody cares enough to give donation, there is a button there on the One Great Work Network page and on my page, the /Sean-McCann. And please consider saying no to mutilating your children, because your baby owns his body and it's not your choice to make. If you love your children, then you won't violate their natural rights in this way. And it harms more than just their body. And if you had been harmed, look into it, try to heal that in yourself, try to not harm your next generation. Because if we're going to do no harm, then we should start with our own children. So thank you so much for highlighting this conversation and having me here to talk about it, because I'm always, I always want to save babies.
So. Excellent place to lower the helicopter. So to the audience, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for helping out Sean with the donations, as you certainly shall. And Sean, especially thank you for your insights into this often forgotten, maybe forgotten for trauma, forgotten for whatever reason, but very, very vital topic. Thank you for your insights, and please hang on as we knock off the recording.